Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
This is the story of a little girl called Emily and her dear cat, Mr. Puskins. Emily adored Mr. Puskins, and each morning she would invent fun games for Mr. Puskins to play. In the afternoon, she'd brush his long fur coat and tell him, "Oh, Mr. Puskins, what a handsome boy you are. I do love you ever so much." And each night, Emily would snuggle up in bed and read Mr. Puskins a special story. But Mr. Puskins never listened. The girl's constant babbling, blah-de-blah-de-blah-blah-blah, bored his whiskers off. He wanted more than this dull life. So, one night, he left. He went to all the places he wasn't meant to go. He did all the things he wasn't meant to do. And even made friends with the pesky cat gang. Ooh. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Life without Emily was such naughty fun. But time passed and things changed. The rain fell and an icy wind blew. The things Mr. Puskins wasn't supposed to do weren't fun anymore. And he knew his friends weren't really very nice. How lovely it would be to have someone to brush his fur and tell him how much they loved him. He felt so alone. This is the last time I'm preaching, isn't it? Then down the grey streets fluttered a tatty old poster. It was a picture of Mr. Puskins. He stared at the photo. What a bad-tempered cat he looked. Emily had given him everything a cat could dream of, but he had never been nice to her. How sorry he felt. Mr. Puskins found a phone box and he dialed the number from the poster and waited anxiously. Wasn't quite the reaction I was going for, but didn't I? He dialed the number and waited anxiously. Someone answered. Meow, whimpered Mr. Puskins in a very sad little voice. Mr. Puskins, is that you? Oh, thank goodness, said Emily. Wait there, I'll come and get you. Mr. Puskins sat patiently. Would Emily find him? Did she still love him? He waited and waited, but Emily didn't come. Then, from over the mountains, he heard a car. Mr. Puskins' heart leapt. It was Emily. His dear Emily was coming for him. The car got nearer and nearer. Back a slide, nearer and nearer, and then sped straight past. Meow. Wailed Mr. Puskins. Emily doesn't love me anymore. You've seen the next thing, but there you go. But then, the car screeched to a halt and Emily jumped out. Mr. Puskins, my beautiful Mr. Puskins, she cried. I didn't recognise you. Emily scooped up her dear cat. At last, they were together again. Aww. This is the end of the little story of the little girl called Emily and her dear cat, Mr. Puskins. Mr. Puskins adores Emily. Every evening he cuddles her and purrs gently while she reads to him. And now both Emily and Mr. Puskins realise how lucky they are to have each other.
Oh, excellent.
That is a story called Mr. Pushkin's A Love Story. And there's another love story that I actually want to talk to you about this morning. And you've heard a lot about it already this morning in people's lives and what's happened in them, the people that have got baptized, and maybe some of the songs we've been singing as well. Folks, God is love. That's who he is. It's not just something that he does, it's who he is. God is love. His nature is to love. All he knows to do is to love. And in that nature, love gives. And in God's perfect nature, because God is perfect, he gives perfectly and he gives his best. We read at the beginning of the Bible, where it all began, that God created man in his image. Because God loves, and that's his nature to love and to give, he wanted to have fellowship with man. He made all the heavens and the earth and all of creation, but his pinnacle was you and me. And that relationship that God had with Adam in the beginning was so perfect, was so incredibly amazing, because it was completely harmonious with God and man. There was nothing to separate the two. It was a perfect, perfect relationship. Just like what Emily had with Mr. Pushkin's. But something happened. Something got in the way. And we read in the Bible, as the story goes on, that man made a deliberate decision to turn away from God. Because God is love, he didn't just program Adam to love him automatically like a robot. It had to be his free will. Because that's how love operates. But you see, out of that free will, Adam made a choice to deliberately disobey God. Like Mr. Pushkin's, one night, he left. He didn't realise quite what it would do, but you see, what that did, it brought in a separation between God and man. What was harmonious to begin with had now been separated because of sin. Man went his own way, and sin brought independence, and it brought that barrier that separated us from God. And ever since then, man's nature has been to sin, has been separated from that perfect union with God. And just like Mr. Pushkin's was kind of wanting something different from what he was already experiencing, there's something that sin does in our nature, that it makes things that are wrong and things that we shouldn't really be doing with people we shouldn't be doing them with, but it makes it appealing. But it's completely out of order of what God had in the first place. And there's that barrier, and there's nothing that we can do in our own strength to actually get back to God. Because something else about God, not only is he love, but he's holy, and he's just, he's perfect. The Bible says that he is holy, which means that he's set apart, he's different. He's perfect. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's just at a completely different level. And at the beginning, we were with him, in unity with him. And because of that sin, it separated us from that place with him. But the Bible also says that the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and he is rich in love. The Lord upholds all who fall and he lifts up all who bow down. It says the Lord is righteous in all his ways and he is faithful in all he does. But because he's holy and because he's just, he couldn't just let the sin go and say, well, it doesn't matter, come on anyway. Because he's just, he set a law in motion. And that sin brought death to the relationship. And because God is just, he wanted to deal with that sin. The result that that sin had on mankind is it brought a judgment on us, because that sin had to be judged. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The penalty The result of what sin does is death, brings spiritual death. And like Mr. Puskins, wandering through the streets, realizing that it wasn't all that, doing all the things that he really wanted to do. He was lost. And we as mankind, we were lost. There's something that happened in that story that Mr. Puskins didn't realize, but as soon as he'd left, I'm pretty sure that Emily knew he'd left and put a plan into action to get him back. Because all the time that Mr. Puskins was off doing his own thing, might have been days, might have been hours, might have been weeks. It seems like it was a few days in the story. And all that time, Emily had put into effect a rescue plan. She'd been looking for him. And it's the same thing with God. As soon as we were separated from him, the Bible says again in Genesis that God said, "Where are you?" Emily took the initiative to find and rescue Mr. Puskins, and she did it by sending a poster. God took the initiative to find and rescue you and me, and he did it by sending his son, Jesus Christ. There was nothing we could do that could change and reverse the effect of what had happened, but God took the initiative to do it, because God is love. When Jesus came into the earth, Jesus, God's own son, Jesus, the perfect, he's called the perfect Lamb of God. He came and he said, "I've come to bring life and life in its fullness." What sin had done had brought spiritual death, but Jesus had come to say, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." It says that God loved the world so much. God loved the world so much, he gave his best. God loved the world so much, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what Jesus came to do. He lived on this earth and he was spreading the good news. All that stuff I've just been saying, that's the bad news. But the good news is that you don't have to be separated from God anymore. Wherever your life is, whether you know God or not, there might be something going on in your life and you don't know how to deal with it. But let me tell you, my friend, Jesus is the answer. I believe it. Sin brought death. Christ brings life. And that poster Mr. Puskin saw, he saw himself and he didn't recognize himself. Was that me? Sin mars the picture. We don't realize it. But again, remember, God is holy, he's just, he's perfect, he's in a different place, he's high and above our standards. And yet, through Jesus Christ, we can be united back to him, back to that place of perfection with him. But it came at a price. Like I said, sin had to be judged. But before the cross, the judgment was on us, mankind. For the Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of the standard of where God wanted us to be. But Jesus took upon himself that judgment. That judgment was really meant for you and me, but he took it upon himself. Jesus Christ, perfect, innocent, had not sinned, done nothing wrong. He was the only one in God's eyes. He was the only one who could break through that barrier of sin and say, "I'm going to take it upon myself and deal with that myself." And it's not good enough that Jesus just died, like somebody was just thrusting a sword in his side or something. Sin had to be judged. Therefore, Jesus had to die the death of a criminal. That is why he died on a cross. He didn't just simply give up his life like maybe a soldier would in an army, or as a good person, as a volunteer, or anything like that. He had to die the death that you and I deserve, the death of a criminal. And folks, this is the good news. that the cross is the way to God the Father. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There was a barrier of sin that separated where God was. There was a barrier of sin from where we were. But through the cross, Jesus Christ made that complete to God. He made the way. He is called the way. And it's said of Jesus, this is in the Old Testament, this is hundreds of years before the cross happened. It said this, yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. Yes. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could become whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. Yet it was the Lord who laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, or that his life was cut short midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, and he had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. And he was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's goodwill to crush him and cause him grief. You see, folks, I said at the beginning, God is love. And a character of God's love is that he expresses mercy. Mercy is God withholding from us what we really deserved. We deserve to be punished. We deserve an eternal death because of sin. But God didn't want that because he's love and he made us in his image. He made us in love. That wasn't his perfect will. And he didn't just forget about you and say, well, we've messed up, so that's it. I'll just carry on. No, he wanted to rescue us. He wanted to rescue you. Before you're even born, before the creation of the world was even in existence, he had his plan. He knew exactly what he was going to do to rescue you and me. In his mercy, he took the judgment we deserved and put it on his son. Therefore, through the cross, we have been united to God once again through the shedding of Jesus' blood. And we are made at one with God. I don't know where you're at with your relationship with God. Maybe you've been saved and you know all this stuff already. Maybe you've heard it in bits and drabs throughout your life. Maybe you've never heard it before. But my friends, this is the good news of who Jesus is. We've been celebrating all morning. There's just a few things I just want to bring out with some of the songs we've been singing and my message this morning. The cross isn't the end of it. He didn't just die and that was it. Neither did sin kill Jesus. Jesus gave up his own life on his own accord. But before he committed his spirit to God, he said, "It is finished." Amen. What does that mean? Friends, if stuff is oppressing you, when you're not right with God, when you're not living with God, there's things in life, there's things that influence you, grab you, things, there's a battle in heaven, there's a battle in the spirit realm or whatever, there's spirit, there's things battling for your life to influence you, just like Mr. Puskins was looking for. And he was indulging in those things and they were taking him this way and that way and he realized it's not the right way. It's not doing me any good, it's killing me. And what Jesus did on the cross is he took those powers and he took those things that influenced, he took the things that separated us. And in his love and his mercy, he took that judgment, he took it all and he put it on himself. But he didn't get killed by it, but he triumphed over it on the cross. The Bible says he took every principality and power and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing on the cross. And then he said, "It is finished." He separated it. "It is done." He took everything from my past that would be a failure. He took everything from me that would separate me from God. And he killed it on the cross. And he said, "It is finished. It is done. It's forgotten about. Its power is gone. It's cut off. It is done." He is the way. I'm going to get happy now because now is the good news. Because Jesus came to bring life. And everything we've just seen these people do, they've seen that they need God. We have a need of a Savior, folks. Yes. Everybody needs a Saviour. And Jesus isn't just a Saviour for a few people. We've been singing this morning, He is the Saviour of all. The Bible says through one man, that's Adam, sin entered the world. But it also says Jesus, He is the second Adam. Through one man, we have righteousness now. Mr. Puskins realised he'd done wrong and he was lost. He realised what he'd left behind was actually what he was really longing to be in that place of love. He found a telephone box. I haven't got a clue how he did it, but he made a phone call. He called the number on the poster. God is sending you a poster this morning, folks, and His name is Jesus. And all you got to do is call His name this morning. Call on Him. Mr. Puskins was full of doubt. Will Emily love me? Does she love me? What's going to happen? Emily's response was, Mr. Puskins, my dear, beautiful Mr. Puskins, wait there, I'm coming to get you. The cross is God saying, wait there, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to restore what was broken. I'm coming to restore what was lost. I've come to call you my own. Folks, God knows your name. The Bible says He has called and chosen us by name. Nobody in this room is a mistake. You are all called by God the Father. He has a plan to rescue you. He has a plan for your life. He had a plan for your life before the creation of the world. Last week, we heard how life is like a road. And if you haven't got the destination sorted out, you're going to be influenced to the left and to the right and get caught up in roundabouts and go here and there and join in with that thing and join in with that thing. If you don't know where you're going this morning, that's what your life might be. But I'm here to tell you this morning, everybody, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's got a destiny for your life. His destiny for you is to live in complete unity with Him. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to save you. He loves you. He loves you. And the way He showed His love for you is dying on the cross and completely triumphing everything that would hold you back from Him. The cross is not the end. Jesus rose again in triumph. Death could not hold Him. He dealt a death blow to the power of death. The Bible says, oh death, where is your sting? Where is your victory now? Because He is the resurrection and the life. People aren't just born into something that makes a little improvement. He takes away the old life. He takes the stuff that's failure and old and messed up, and He takes it away, and He puts His perfect life in you. He takes away the negative, and He gives you the positive of His life. You don't have a good life on an old thing. He takes away the old, and He brings you the new. Jesus is the new. He's the way, the truth, and the life this morning. Come on. The Bible says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in His glory. Through the cross, Jesus made it possible for you to be united back with God, back to that right relationship where you're complete, where you're whole. With, like Emily and Mr. Puskins, you can have your fur rubbed every night if you want. But if it's great, it's good news. You don't have to struggle through life and go to this thing or that thing. Life will still be life, folks. It's not a ticket out of it. But with Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour, you've given up the old. He's dealt with the past. He cuts it off. And He says, you're mine. Come, walk with me. Life will still be life. But the thing is, Jesus is victorious. We've been singing victorious this morning, victorious songs, because we believe that Jesus, He's no longer in a grave. He's no longer on a cross. That's done. It's finished with. It is done. It's finished. Jesus right now is in heaven in victory. He has ascended back to His place in glory where you and me can go and be. And eternal life doesn't just start when you die. Eternal life can start right now for you this morning. It's great. And you go through life with victory and triumph. Stuff comes against you, but I've got my victory in Jesus. I'm walking with you, Lord. It just takes a call. What it takes is just to come to the cross and recognize what God has done in his love for you. It means just coming to the cross and giving all your life to him, laying it down, letting him have the old stuff, letting him have yourself, and letting him take it away so that he can then give you himself. It just means that you just need to come to the cross. Folks, I just appeal to anyone who's maybe, you know, I don't know where you are, but maybe you're just not right with God this morning. Come to the cross this morning. Come to the cross. Call on Jesus' name. God's got life he wants to give you. He loves to give. God is love. He's awesome. He's awesome. We're going to sing a song which really helps just kind of tie all this up, really. I love this song. And we're going to sing it, and in a minute I'm going to ask you to respond to this message. But whilst we're singing this song, I just want you to, you know, if for those that know it, sing along. If you want to just read the words, that's fine. But this song shows the message of God's love. Let's all stand this morning.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.